Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Sunday Morning Breakfast Learning Center. We're so glad to be here, excited about the call, excited about the topic, amazing topic, powerful but passionate, a father's love. So let's go ahead, open our call in prayer, and get the call started. So if you don't mind, please go ahead and bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the continued opportunity to serve you. We thank you for all that you do in our life, for being our number one Father, first and foremost, for constantly providing, protecting, and promoting each of us to do, fulfill on your will, Heavenly Father. We are grateful for the family, for the fathers whom you sent to be in our lives. And for our fathers, we're grateful for the families we're able to have with them and the children that they're able to raise up and truly show what a father is. It's truly a blessing indeed. We thank you for the opportunity to now continue to learn all that there is to learn from you, dear Lord, and to be able to share it one E with another. So thanks again. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So once again, we're here on Sunday Morning Breakfast Learning Center. And the topic, powerful but passionate, a father's love. So this past week, you know, was just truly grateful as we do each and every week for the definitions that are shared for each of the words in our title. Right? We talked about father. What is the definition of father? He's what? The male parent. And some other things that really moved me as I looked further into the definition of father was my study Bible shared, characteristic of a mentor or provider relationship. It's also the name and role of God, right? Father, right? We call him our Heavenly Father. We look at the father, we saw the characteristics of one being provider. So it was just awesome to just see it once again come together in the definition. We also talked about powerful. What was powerful? Some words of examples that were given was very strong, brawny, full of strength, but also having great influence, control, authority. And those are the things you look for in a father, right? Passionate was the other word, strong belief. He's our biggest cheerleader and is capable of expressing intensity. That's right, passionate because they're always there looking out for their family and taking care. But the one word we actually didn't tap on much was love. Powerful or passionate, a father's love. And anyone who's called into Sunday Morning Breakfast time and time again knows that whenever we talk about love, we go back to 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. And I just thought it was just so important. We looking at powerful, passionate, a father's love was just to just revisit it. Because what is love and what are the things that we seek in our fathers? What are the characteristics of a father? What are the things that a father love shows? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. And love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. It never fails. And that's what the strengths, the characteristics of a father, man, are all written right there in that definition of love. But there are four that we really focused on. And once again, Sunday Morning Breakfast Learning Center, powerful but passionate, a father's love. And those characteristics were provider, protector, promoter, and priest, right? Amazing characteristics indeed. Ms. Latanya, I believe you had more to share on what that father's love is.
Yes, Ms. Tiana, I love, I always love when we go back to the scripture in 1 Corinthians, because we know that is the basis, but I absolutely love, in case anyone may have missed it, on Wednesday when the scripture was brought up from Psalm chapter 103 verse 13 that states, "The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him." And it's so profound as we're talking about a father's love and as we celebrated, you know, Father's Day on yesterday. But a few more things that I want to point out about a father's love is that it implies intimacy. So Mr. Carr talked about being intimate with God, you know, our spiritual father. And it's so true, and it relates so well to a father in the natural. The other thing that it implies is dependence. So a lot of us have had experience where we depended solely on our fathers for certain things, things that we did not depend on our mothers for. It also implies family interaction. And that's another thing that has been so profound when we look at a father's love or even reflect back on what a father has been to us. It also implies roles and responsibilities. So, again, there are certain things that a father will do or has done in our lives that only he can do. And a father is solely committed to his family, which a lot of us, I'm sure, can vouch for. But as it was also mentioned, and as you just stated, a father protects, provides, and he promotes at all costs. So his love guides us, it corrects us, it teaches us, and it also instructs us in the ways that we are to live and the things that we are to do and say. But another thing I want to point out as we're going over this on the Learning Center is it was brought up about respect, but the other huge thing as we talk about a father's love is forgiveness. And a lot of us have held unforgiveness in our hearts. Some of us may still be holding that in our hearts. So a huge part of forgiveness involves being compassionate. So it goes back to that scripture, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. And it's being able to look at someone and see past their faults and what they may have done to us or not done for us. And the way that we do that is to be prayerful, and we have to remain prayerful. So one of the things I actually had to go back and read was the parable of the prodigal son. And it's a great story because it tells us about how God shows his love in ways that we can relate to. And we know that God loves us in very extreme ways, right? So some of those ways, however, are evident, but sometimes it's hard to really relate to that type of love as human beings because that type of love was never reciprocated to us in the natural. So in the story, we see intimate ways of God's love, and it's ways that we can understand and relate to how a natural father would love his child. And the first thing that was so profound in the story was that the father let the son go. And a lot of times we wouldn't understand that, especially if we're not in that position of a father, but it tells us that back then it was customary in those days for the oldest son to not only receive a double portion of the father's inheritance, but to also be the first one to do so. And in this case, the child didn't wait his turn, or he didn't wait until the father decided to give. He actually demanded his portion right away. And we see that his father gave him his portion and let him go. So I'm saying that to say that God our Father is in that way in the sense that he will let us go. We have that free will to disobey him, and we can also reject him, we can ignore him, and also ignore the promptings of the Holy Spirit. But God's love means that he leaves the door open. He does not shut us out. And this is exactly what we see in the story. Another thing that I found to be so profound was how the father waited for his son to return. So in the story, it says that, you know, the father saw his son returning while he was a long way off. So he had not cut his son off. He was actually expecting and making himself available at the first glimpse of his son's return. And that's, again, the way that God loves us. And oftentimes, a lot of us can relate to the way our fathers in the natural, you know, have treated us. And one of the other things that was so profound in the story was how he restored his son. Now, for those of us that have children, and even for those of us that do not, we may have nieces or nephews, but it's one thing to take a child back that has gone astray, but it's a whole nother thing to restore that child. And what the son wanted was to be taken back, all while earning his keep. And what the father did was he greeted him with kisses. He showed him love and affection. And the father did exactly what it says in the scripture. He showed compassion. And he gave his son basically the right to experience joy again. So that joy includes being forgiven, and it also comes with the restoration that comes after receiving that joy. So those were just some of the things. And like I said, just going back and reflecting on that story, we realized exactly how a father's love should be, or like I said, some of us may have experienced that. But the Bible also tells us to do unto others as we would have them do, as we would have them do unto us. So
that's right.
It's just so profound, as we have to treat our fathers the way that we would want to be treated, and that includes forgiveness and also being compassionate.
Amen. That's right, Ms. LaTanya. That Bible story has so many great points, and you truly highlighted the role of the father in that. And one thing that I wanted to share tonight is we all, you know, for Mother's Day, we all have that song that we all know, you know, M is for the million things she gave me, oh, it's only that she's going on. And we all know that song because many of us have sang it every year. But there's not a song like that for fathers. And no, I did not create a song, and no, I'm not going to sing. I know some of you don't like to hear it, but I did take the letters from the word father. And it was just an opportunity to celebrate what really a father is. And it really embodies all those things that you just shared, Ms. LaTanya. And I'll start with F. Fathers are a faithful friend, right? We're on Learning Center, so here's another way to take away who fathers are. They're a faithful friend. What does that mean? Fathers show kindness, compassion, there we see the word again, and interest in their family members. Not only their family members, but also all other kids that they may come in contact. We heard an awesome testimony of DJ's father yesterday, who took in all the boys who didn't have fathers. That's the faithful friend. A stands for authoritarian, or we can say discipline. That's what we mostly know it as. A father helps the children learn proper boundaries and consequences, right? If a child does what they're not supposed to do, a father sets them straight, put those boundaries in place, and ensure the consequences are known. T stands for what other than teacher? Teacher, a father shares his knowledge and principles to help family members grow and develop. His education is life-oriented, not information-oriented. What does that mean? Basically, he's using the context of his daily life to teach all about God, right? He's living it. He's showing it in his actions. He's showing it in the discipline. He's showing it being compassionate, being kind. That's a father. H stands for what other than head. He's the head of the family. He is the spiritual leader. He does his part to help establish faith in God and belief in the principles and accountability to God. So critical, so important. It starts there. That's foundation of a father. E stands for exemplar. What is he shows by the way he lives his life, an example of what the family stands for. He walks in it. The example, he doesn't say, do what I say, not what I do, but shows what it is that a child is to do. And R, respecter. We're just going back to respect. He's also a respecter. He shows love and respect and lives totally faithful to his wife and shares the workload with that partner. He shows respect to his kids. He shows respect to all around, once again being that example. And the scripture that took me to was actually out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 through 9. So bear with me, because here's what it says. It says, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as a symbol on your hand and bind them in your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Basically saying, make sure that the word of God and the commandments are constantly there, constantly present, and are forever a part of your daily life and how you're walking. And what is it? Verse 7 says, impress them on your children. And that's exactly all that a father embodies. It's amazing indeed. Absolutely amazing. And I would love to hear from Mr. DJ what it is that a father impressed upon you.
It's so much. I actually don't even know where to begin. There are some things about a father that only a father can teach me. Being a male, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from any mothers or single parents out there, but there's power. First of all, fathers were ordained by God for certain responsibilities. I often tell folk, I don't know if any of you all ever been in a relationship where, you know, you have someone or a female that has been very headstrong, but some of you all may be very headstrong, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying anything's wrong with that at all. But there are certain responsibilities that we are held accountable for. When I say we, I'm talking about men. You know, we are being held accountable for. And sometimes you got to let a man be a man. And one thing about my father, and I can only speak about my earthly father, he was the epitome of that. He was the head of the house. My father mm-hmm. was the law. He was the judge. But he never had to say that, ever. You mm-hmm. just knew it. He didn't ever have to tell my mom, hey, woman, hold up. You know, I'm a man. And he was smart enough to know not to say that, because my mom was a giant too. But everybody, and it takes an effort of the entire family to lift dad up. And by us doing that, you know, I was taught respect and an example of what a man is supposed to be. And it started with him. You know, I don't know if you all ever heard the expression of, if it is to be, it's up to me. But my father never sent us to church. You know, he brought us to church. He didn't send nothing. He took us with him. If we're getting ready to go and worship, he's going to be the first one on his knees. My father said the grace, taught us how to pray. Like I said, I thought he was one of the strongest men that I knew. And it wasn't until I got older that I realized that he was really human. You know, like with emotion, certain things he just kept. I didn't even know. I didn't need to know. It wasn't my place to know. But what I'm saying is my father was the word responsibility really, really, really comes to me. One thing about him, they always say, you know, us men have egos. And yes, he does. He has an ego. And they say mm-hmm. women have attitudes. And one thing about him, if you got into it with my mom, she's pretty much going to be mad for a while. Don't talk to me. Don't say nothing to me. You know, one thing about my dad, he say his piece and he's done with it. I'm talking about almost instant. Once he's done with it, once he turned it over to God, that's it. It was over with. One no more arguing. One no, he was just at peace, like it really never happened. You know, so
that's,
like I said.
So that's definitely that's powerful. We're passionate.
Yeah, very, 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 very. And that example, I realized, helped me in myself and relationships. Sometimes, you know, fathers get a bad rap. And I'm not trying to tell you just because you're a male that you can go and lead and be the head of something. Because if you don't know what you're doing, then you're going to mess somebody else up. You got to be right first with your heavenly father, spiritual father. And one thing about my dad, like I said, responsibility. The man was always, to this day, my parents have been married. They've been together 58 years. And they've been in the same house. They've lived in the same house since 1968 and got the same phone number. That phone has never been disconnected. I have never come home to the power being out due to lack of funds. I never saw the back of the refrigerator. I never saw the back of the freezer. Every time I open it, it's food there. I've never seen the back of a freezer, refrigerator, or the cabinet. So
but that's absolutely, absolutely amazing, Mr. DJ.
Yeah.
And that just truly shows power. It shows passion, shows provision. And I truly appreciate you sharing that. But I know that it's time. We're going to go ahead and hand the call over to our leader, Mr. Carr. Oh, what do you have to share this evening, Mr. Carr?
Thank you so much, Ms. Tiana, and I thank everybody for calling in tonight as we do our recap, our SMB Learning Center. I do have a few callers that wanted to share a couple of things. Ms. Tiana, is Ms. Harris on the phone, Ms. Tornana?
She is. Good evening, Ms. Harris.
Hi, good evening. I would simply like to begin by reiterating something that Mr. Carr stated last night about fathers being the priests of their household. Their responsibility is to cover the family, lead, guide, and provide. And as the man covers the family, God covers the man. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3 states, "But I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." So clearly, being a father, let alone a man, is not an easy task. And so, fellas, you have two options. You can either stand strong and firm and allow God to help you to take care of your children and your responsibilities, or you can run and allow the streets to help single mom raise them. But before you choose to run, let me remind you of what the lack of a father can cause for our girls: self-esteem and relationship issues, causing them to seek love in all the wrong places. And for our boys, watching them grow up behind the bars of jail cells due to the lack of guidance and repeating what they have been taught to do, which is run. So just the thought of how much responsibility men have to face can weigh heavily on their hearts. So ladies, let's do better with encouraging and inspiring our father of our children. Let's love our children enough to respect the man that we have chosen to be their fathers. Philippians 2, verse 2 states, "Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and purpose." So what that means is when we work together as parents, we demonstrate Christ's example of putting others first and experiencing unity, which enhance experience peace. So to all the fathers showing up every day in their children's lives, and to the granddads and the dads that discipline and love and that lead by example, I simply want to give you a standing ovation and simply tell you thank you. And the scriptures I've used was Philippians 2, verse 2, and 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much for that. Well put together. Responsibility, accountability, you know, the sense of being. All of that is entailed in the father, fatherhood. Is my brother on the phone, Harold Scott. Is he on the phone, Ms. Kim?
Not at this moment, Mr. Carr.
Okay. Well, he may get on a little later. But one of the things that, you know, as we shared this past week, and thank you so much for that, Ms. Tarlina. That was excellent. You know, one of the things that we always share, especially, you know, with the Word of God, regardless of the topic, is the thing called unity. And as we celebrated Father's Day and our father's love, you know, being powerful but passionate, and this is our learning center, you know, we know what a father is. You know, we may try and redefine it, but a father is that being that God gave you. Period. That's what a father is. You know, I know through our divisive mindset and the perversions of this world and the perversions of our own experiences. We tend to change God's definition of things. So we'll say that is or is not a father based on our criteria, not God's criteria. And I think when we do that, we open ourselves wide open to sin. And when sin comes in, sin does not come in to play with you. Just need you to know that. Sin is not just trying to play with you. Sin is best seen when people live their own way, not God's way.
Amen.
This sinful nature the Bible talks about, why do you think the nature this nation is sinful? Why do you think? Because we choose to live our way, meaning we choose to think the way we want to think. We challenge what God calls a father simply because we don't think they are. I'm here to tell you, regardless of responsibility, the title never changes. Regardless of what somebody do, the title never changes.
Amen.
Because God doesn't make a mistake. Regardless of how much you mess up, your title does not change to God. The only difference is forgiveness does not mean fellowship. God, see, people live by that creed, God gonna forgive me. Yes, he will, but that don't mean that he's gonna fellowship with you. That don't mean you're gonna walk in heaven. As a matter of fact, you can forgive people. That don't mean that y'all gonna be buddy-buddy.
That's right.
It's hard-pressed sometimes to celebrate fathers because we'll say Happy Father's Day a lot of times as we learn. And this is a learning thing, y'all. This is a learning curve. Because we'll say Happy Father's Day, but we still have these emotional ties, and we're just doing it going through the motion. But I would advise anybody to check themselves because you may be able to trick and deceive yourself, your pastor, Mr. Carr, anybody else. But you can't deceive God.
Amen.
He know what pure is and he know what pure isn't. Because we always put a disclaimer when it comes to things like a father. A father is a man who takes care of his children. A mother is a woman who just gave birth. She don't even have to take care of her children. She a mother. So tell me your definition of a father again. No, a father is a man who planted a seed and a child was born. Whether he takes care of or not, is still a father.
Mm-hmm.
I can say this because the very person that you put your mouth on, it can be the very person that God bless. I don't know if y'all ever saw that thing, Miss Latonya, you know, where like the person was like, how you made it to heaven, and that person looking like, how you made it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
It's like, thank God, God is the judge and not us. Because nobody will be in heaven but the people we like and us.
Yes.
But if we was good at judging, we'll answer this question for me. If you were so good at judging and judging fathers and stuff like that, who's the father, who's not, Mr. DJ? If we're so good at judging, answer this. Why you sin so much? Because sin is a judgment call. Now, watch this. By a show of hands, right where you are, raise your hand. If you sin daily. So, sin is a choice. That means you've made a judgment to do so. So how can you judge somebody else's life, yet yours is in turmoil?
Come on.
Lord.
Huh? Should we say, you're not worthy to be called a child of God, you're not Christian? Just like you say, a father is someone who takes responsibility. Well, guess what's more important than taking responsibility of a child? Taking responsibility over the life God gave you.
Amen.
Can I say it again?
Please.
Yes. We have this in-depth ability in us to where we don't want to say, ooh, powerful yet passionate. You know, the only time we say that is because my daddy was there. We'll never say that when my daddy wasn't there. But who are you to make a judgment call when you sin every day? So I don't think you have the credentials to be making anything called a judgment call.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, blow.
Yes.
That was a fire button. Say it's on fire. That means truth. But who are we to say what a father is based on what we say takes care of? Because let me whisper in your ear a little bit. This is a learning center, so we can learn a little bit. You can have a hoodlum in the street take care of kids, and you say that's a father. But that child can go straight to hell because nobody's preaching God.
Hmm.
So what's your definition of a father is again? Huh? Now, my brother wanted to reiterate tonight, and I'll because he always dump it on me because he's the would be the calmer of the two heads. You know, he would be the level-headed. In other words, he'll get me to do the dirt. And he'll say, you know, nah, he come with it nice way. Okay.
All right.
So we had a conversation as we talk about this and getting ready to close out with the Learning Center. One of the things that was so baffling and mind-boggling, because he said the topic was so interesting. I said, I know, man. And it's like, you know, so many people have problems with fathers. And I said, man, you can't even go to Walmart. They got a little section, a little corner over there for fathers. Nothing gigantuous, nothing, you know, up front street. That means even economically, they know that doesn't make them money because people don't celebrate it.
Hmm.
Valentine's Day, packed. Halloween, packed. Mother's Day, packed. Easter, packed. Every other 4th of July, packed. Father's Day, ah.
Mm.
Ain't that something?
But
it was fine. This is our conversation. I was like, I was about to say that the other night, but he said, well, I was thinking about it. And, you know, is he on the phone yet, Miss Tiana?
Not at this time.
Okay, not a problem. I'll say what he said. So he said, you know, one of the things that baffles me, and I said, what is it? He said that a child doesn't decide who their parent is.
That's right. Come on. Come on.
He said, if someone had to be mad at somebody, you know, you're saying father not, you know, this, that, and other, and so forth and so on. Be careful how you say that, because your mother also made a decision to be with that person.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's right.
So if you get mad at anybody, you might want to redirect.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know who they were when you got with them. I don't know if y'all heard me some weeks ago, maybe a month or two. I said, I forgot what topic we was talking about, but I said, when you make decisions outside of God, you will always end up, you know, in this bitter battles, in sin, talking about one another, never putting one another. In other words, you made a decision based on how it felt, how it looked, but God had nothing to do with it, and now look at the end result. Now your verbiage can be nothing but spew venom out. You can never lift up the Father because of your sinful decision that both of you made. But to cover your ground, you would rather put all emphasis on him and not you too.
Come on.
Ain't that like the devil? That's what the devil do, right? Point fingers and never takes responsibility. Now, you think that responsibility is financially taking care of a child. Well, watch this. If that's responsibility, Father God, y'all can look up in heaven. Y'all look at y'all ceiling. Look beyond your ceiling. Go just look up and tell God he ain't a father. Because financially, I do believe that Jesus was born in a manger. Financially, Jesus didn't have a dollar. Oh, yeah, boy. Y'all don't want to hear that truth, though, right?
Yes.
As a matter of fact, the Bible said, Mr. DJ, he didn't have a place where he can lay his head. That means Jesus didn't even provide for his own son.
Yes, Lord.
Say it.
Huh? Y'all want to learn tonight, right? This is a learning center?
Yes.
This is why I do not listen to man's judgment, because man don't know. See, we claim to know God, but we only know what God can do for us and only us. But see, when you really live a lifestyle of God, you will put yourself on a back burner and put others before you. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, esteem others higher than you esteem yourself. Do you follow that scripture? But you can point out everything else about what a father should be. Well, let me tell you this. As a Christian, tell me what you should be. Now, after you start making excuses for yourself, I want you to use the same excuses and get to that father, yeah?
Yes, indeed.
Ain't that something?
That's right.
Because Jesus, God, would be a horrible father because financially he didn't take care of Jesus. Jesus was rich, didn't have a mansion, and they had mansions back then. Huh? Hair was knotted up. Huh? When they tried to get money from Jesus, Jesus told them to go down to the water, catch a fish, open his mouth. He had nothing. Read your Bible.
Yes.
But when we start accounting what a father is, do you not understand the Bible says the tradition of man has nullified the power of God? That means you're going off your experience, you're going off what somebody else told you, and now all of a sudden it has developed you to be the person that you are. But when you're a child of God, you don't care what the other people went through, you care what God said is, and that's what you look to. This is why he said, do you think I came to bring about peace here on earth? That means if you're going to follow me, you are going to hate your mother, you're going to hate your father. See, when you follow God, that mean I don't go by y'all tradition. I go by what God say. Call me peculiar.
Yes.
But the reason why we can't call you peculiar is because look at how you even view fathers. No, a father is somebody who planted a seed. Whether they're there or not, they still a father.
Lord. That's right.
Mm. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Whatever color you are, no matter what you do, you still going to be the same ethnicity regardless. Huh?
Yes, right.
Think you a man, but you really a woman? You're still a woman regardless.
Yes.
You think you a woman? Huh? And you really a man? You're still a man regardless.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
But oh, it's good, and he's very divisive. Do understand, he tricked up King David, a man after God's own heart. He tricked up two perfect people, Adam and Eve. Perfect. Mm-hmm. He even got old Job. You know Job that y'all, we brag about a lot? Oh, if you read the whole story of Job, you'll see that Job wasn't so perfect because he actually doubted God in that little process.
Yes. Come on.
Right.
So if he can get all them, I wonder what he can do to us today, even when it turns to celebrating somebody else called a father because of our natural experiences. He didn't say what channel he was going to use. He just said, God, watch me get them.
Truth.
Huh? Powerful yet passionate, a father's love. See, sometimes, just like a child, they might not have it. Your child can be clumsy-dumsy. And what you do is you don't let that child know they clumsy-dumsy. You be like, ooh, baby, boy, you can cook. Now that burnt toast, burn it, I don't know what. But you eat it to build confidence. It's funny how we do that for those who we love, but those who we hate, if they clumsy-dumsy, you gonna let them know. You're just as clumsy as you want to be and stupid. That's what we do to fathers. You know why? Because somebody let us plant a seed of negativity in there. Somebody gave us the green light. Hold on. Back up. Somebody gave us the green light. Now we was children, and we had our own emotions and our own feelings because somebody didn't correct us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now all of a sudden, we're adults with them same attitudes, and that attitude is perpetuated. In other words, it's going from us to our kids because we did it to ours. We're going to let them do it to theirs.
That's right.
Huh? You don't see how the enemy work? I'm trying to tell us something so we can learn on this learning center. And it's hard to break those things, those chains, but anointing will do it. But the thing is, when you allow God to come in, God is a pure gentleman. He is a father. When you allow God to come, see, God will not interrupt your flow. You think that God's going to send light when you're about to do something that you shouldn't do? He's not. The reason is he gave you chance and opportunity, and God wants you to follow him. God ain't about to chase you down. Well, if God didn't want me to smoke weed, he'd have sent something my way. No, he sent the word. That's all you need.
Amen.
Responsibility? How can we talk about somebody with responsibility? Mr. Carr, I think you're sugarcoating because you're just doing that because you're a man. No, what I'm saying is, see, the thing is, when you forgive other people and you have leniency on others, the Bible says, make room for one another's sins. So why you ain't making room for somebody else's sins? But you want God to make room for yours. I bet you if this was the day, some people call Pentecost, if this is the day where we was in judgment, in line for judgment, I bet you'll forgive every daddy. You know why? Now you want to be selfish because you're trying to make it in.
Come on. That's right.
But because we're so fixated on the present and not our future, Satan ruins it every time. Why? Because we allow him to. Satan said, get in your feelings. Huh? That man don't know what he's talking about. That's your experience. He don't know your lifestyle. I don't, but God does. Because guess what? Regardless of what happened to you in your life, if you open that Bible, the words will not change. In other words, God is still going to have the same standard regardless of how. See, I love Golden State. I love Steph Curry. So regardless of what happened, I'm still going to follow them. They lost last night. Oh, ain't going to change. Get your brag on. You got that. I don't got to say nothing. My last year is, you got that. But guess what? It's still going to remain the same. The word of God is going to remain the same. Regardless of what you've been through, cursing is still not tolerated by God. Regardless of what you're going through or been through, putting a father down is still not tolerated by God.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? But Mr. Carr, add the other one. Okay. Add the one where regardless of what he went through, he still should be there for his children. And you're right. The thing is, if he can get it right, why can't you?
Amen.
Huh? But as I was stating earlier, Ms. LaTonya, this is the deal. You can encourage your little ones to be better. Why you can't encourage your daddy to be better? See, the problem is we get so selfish. We want people to pour into us because we the child and they the parent and they should give us. Well, all the time it ain't going to be that way because if I'm not mistaken, the same one who was put in the well by his brothers, left to die. When he got out, he blessed his brothers, the ones who put him in there.
Amen.
That's right.
In the hole. Mm. So you being put in the hole. See, that's the difference. That was a child of God. What are you?
Yes, Lord.
Your hand wasn't dealt fairly. He wasn't there. But now you know better. If you have the word of God in you, shouldn't you be dispersing love all about on him? Huh? I do believe. Do you think that Jesus blessed Mary and Joseph more so than they blessed him? I think so. He was a child. Shouldn't he have said, y'all need to bless me? But that's what pride do. Pride have you with that sense of entitlement. I'm your child. You hadn't been there. But see, wisdom will say, it don't matter who got what. I'm going to give what God gave me so that you will have it too.
Amen.
Huh? Oh, we can create a powerful yet passionate father. Let me tell you why, Mr. DJ. If you got power and passion in you, whatever is in you is going to be rubbed off. Do mind this statement. Your attitude rub off on your kids, so why can't rub off on your daddy?
Break it down.
Huh? Your attitude rub off on them chillings, don't it? I mean children. That's a little southern twang. Right?
Yeah.
So you can bring peace and harmony to the environment if you let God use you. Remember, you can do all things through Christ. Now, outside of Christ, you can't do nothing. So I do understand why nothing has transpired yet, because somebody walking on the outside realm. Okay? A father's love. I promise you, if you operating in God, some things will change. Even if it don't change immediately, it's going to change within you the way you view that man. And do keep in mind, the Bible says that love keeps no record of wrongdoing. God don't remember your wrongdoing. So now you supersede God and you start remembering people's wrongdoing. Wow. That's strong, people. The very person who tried to exalt himself, thought he was superior to God, got cast down. You think God's going to stop casting people down who challenge him? Do you really think that? You know, hell is a place for cast downs. So be very careful about your judgment now. And I don't talk about just because you ain't say it. If it's all up in your heart. Because you love your daddy, you just don't love their daddy.
Come on.
But why let your child go through 20, 30 years of what you went through? Wisdom will suggest, hold on, I went through the wrong way, and I had to learn through ministry and God's love. Let me kiss them at a young age and say, you're going to love your daddy regardless. Because I said so. But you know, pride catches us a lot of times because we're so bitter and we didn't get them to do what we want them to do. You know, people say stuff like, I want them to have a relationship with their child. Let me tell you something, and we're about to close right here. It ain't about what you want. Because God wants a lot of things. Do you care to hear it? Because every time we say something about God, you good with God right now on this phone. But if we got out this phone and we're talking about God, you would get tired of hearing about God. So we're tired of hearing about what you want. Give them what God wants, not what you want.
Amen.
You wanted that new car, new house. Did you get it? Did you crucify yourself because of it?
Come on.
You wanted three boys. You got three girls. Did you crucify yourself because of it? See, we always try to put ourselves in a position of authority by saying, well, I want them to have a relationship. Pause. It ain't about what you want. Exclude yourself from it. All you need to do is say, you can respect, and that's enough. Because I guarantee you, that other partner got something they want too, and I bet you don't want to hear that. You know why you don't want to hear? Because you're going to say you ain't earned the right to have a want over here. Wow. Here we go back to school. You ain't earned it. Earn it how? In other words, if you don't pay, you can't play with that child. You tell the truth though, right? Huh? Because we just said about being responsible. And you know we're responsible to mankind means money. But the Bible, Mr. DJ, says the love of money, is the root of all types of evil. Mr. Carter, I ain't loving money. Yes, it is when you put money above God. So you're making money the standard and not God the standard. So who got the problem? If they spend money, you don't have a problem. But if they praise God, you still wouldn't let them see him.
Yes. Come on.
Y'all done learned enough. It's still Happy Father's Day. Every day Mother's Day, every day Father's Day too. Deal with it. Deal with it. Deal with it.
Yep.
All right. Let us go ahead and pray, Miss Tiana. I'm sorry, did we have any star fivers? I'm sorry. I didn't mean that.
Oh, it's okay. We did not this evening, Star.
Okay. Everybody was over there like, ooh, we ain't nothing else to say. And it's not, and please trust y'all, this is not a redundant message.
Nope.
The word redundant. No, the word of God is never redundant. It's only redundant to those who don't want to hear. When you're in love with God, you love to hear his voice. It's only redundant because, you know, it hurts. I bet you a dollar ain't redundant, is it? You want more of them?
Mm.
Mr. DJ, can I say it again? A dollar ain't redundant. or them, we can talk money all day, and you'll never get tired if you're making it.
Mm-hmm.
The only time you get tired of hearing the word is when you're not in it.
That's right.
Because I don't agree with that. You don't agree with God. You ain't disagreeing with me. Because I promise you, put God's lips on what I just said and see what's going to happen. If finances make it that way, that means you should be exiled from the world, because what's your credit look like? You're not being accountable. You shouldn't even be able to have kids. You can't even take care of your own credit, yet alone theirs. Now what?
Mm.
Huh? Pay your bills. Pay your debt. Now what? That's too real?
The truth.
Since we want to talk about responsibility, that's too real? Oh, I'm sorry. One can be exploited and put on Front Street on the internet and everything else, but your credit can't be put out there like that. That's between you and your creditor. Nobody know about your credit.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we typically got to find a man who got good credit, because somebody else don't have it. Let's go ahead and pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. And we thank you for the word that's gone through. Heavenly Father, may we walk as we receive this word. May we walk in forgiveness. May we walk in thanksgiving. May we walk in joy. May we walk in love. Heavenly Father, as we continue to celebrate, we celebrate you first and foremost, and we celebrate all fathers who are listening to this call and all of those who we walk and connect with on a daily basis. May we love on them. May we show them the same love that we in turn expect to receive. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Y'all have a great week. And again, I celebrate Mother's Day every day, Father's Day every day, to love one another every day. Okay? Don't take my words as harsh and say, oh, he just, you know, he on one. No. My thing is, you know, just like anybody else, the people who get beat up the most, that's typically the one that God is going to look after, trust, and believe. That's why he said the first shall be last and the last shall be first. He said that for a reason. So I'm only trying to keep things balanced. It's not Obamacare or anything like that, but I'm just trying to balance it all.
Yes, sir.
In other words, calm down, prideful. We all won. See y'all on Wednesday for our Bible study.
All right. Good night. Good night.
Good night.